The story is full of mysteries. In fact, its title is taken from a Sherlock Holmes tale. And the young Christopher Boone tells us, "I like the Hound of the Baskervilles because I like Sherlock Holmes, and I think that if I were a proper detective, he is the kind of detective I would be. He is very intelligent, and he solves the mystery. And he says, the world is full of obvious things which nobody, by any chance, ever observes. But he notices them, like I do." Also, it says in the book, Sherlock Holmes had, in a very remarkable degree, the power of detaching his mind at will. And this is like me, too, because if I get really interested in something, I don't notice anything else. Also, Sherlock Holmes doesn't believe in the supernatural, which is God and fairy tales and hounds of hell and curses, which are stupid things. So says young Christopher Boone in the novel The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, and all that from litcharts.com. According to Adrian Sutton, 15-year-old Christopher is suspected of killing his neighbor's dog. Although ill-equipped to deal with everyday life, he detests being touched, distrusts strangers, and has never ventured alone beyond the end of the road. He decides to turn detective, despite his father's objections, solve the murder mystery, and detail his investigations in a book. Here we begin to see a different side to a boy possessed of a photographic memory and exceptional ability in math and science, who is about to embark on a frightening journey that threatens to turn his world upside down. In fact, on the postmodern mystery site, writer Ted Joya reviews Mark Haddon's book as a mystery novel of the modern postmodern persuasion. Even though Christopher becomes a de facto detective, viewing Sherlock Holmes as a validation that his own way of being is worthwhile, even if other people don't understand how his mind works, we may find the big mystery of The Curious Incident is the mystery of Christopher's mind, and ultimately is the mystery or mysteries of the human mind. It is quite a journey, and the Bloomsburg Theatre Ensemble has received grants from the National Endowment for the Arts and regional foundations to bring this story to life in our region in the stage adaptation by Simon Stevens, March 28th through April 14th. We had a chance to speak by phone with director Elizabeth Dowd, actor Steve Fowler, who is Christopher, and McCambridge Dowd Whipple, actor who is Siobhan, and the movement director, about the production and how BTE came to select the play for its current season. Elizabeth Dowd.
I had seen the production in New York several years ago, and I just was knocked out by it. And we had all read the script. Many of us had read the book and then felt that the script was so fine. And then I actually, when I got to see how it worked on stage, I kept thinking, can I make this work with our company? And I felt actually because of our history with theater in the classroom, because we are so accustomed to story theater and sort of using the company to become many characters and create things that aren't there but that will be seen by the audience because of how we create them, that this was a piece that really suited us. And so I had a director interest. That's why I went to see the play. After I'd read the script, I really thought I just need to sort of see if this is something that with our resources we can tackle. And I felt strongly about it. And if there's a director who has a strong interest and people are excited by the text, then that's a real strong hand to have with going into play selection. If people like the play and there's a director who's got passion, those things will really move something up the ladder quickly.
Would one of you like to give us an overview of the story?
So the show follows the story of a boy, Christopher Boone, who is 15 years old, and we see him first introduced. He is at basically the scene of a crime. He finds the said dog in his neighbor's yard, and he tries to solve this mystery of who killed this dog. And by sort of nosing his way into trying to solve this mystery, he uncovers other secrets about his life. all through this time, he has other things going on. He is preparing to take his A-level exams in school, and he's also doing all of this with a number of what he describes as behavioral problems. And so our story follows that journey.
And are we in England?
We are in England. We are traveling through a number of places in England. We are starting in Swindon, and we make our way to London.
Doesn't the title come from a Sherlock Holmes story?
It does. So the title of the play is a reference to a quote in The Silver Blaze, which is a Sherlock Holmes story. And our main character, Christopher Boone loves Sherlock Holmes. His favorite Sherlock Holmes story is Hound of the Baskervilles. But the Silver Blaze quote very much has to do with the mystery that he is trying to solve.
And McCambridge, you have many hats, but we'd like to meet your character, too.
So in the play, I play Siobhan, who is Christopher's teacher, and she's really sort of his support system throughout the play. We sort of see him have a not ideal family life, parents who don't quite understand him or aren't able to sort of appreciate the really incredible way his brain works. And Siobhan is someone who does get that. And so, yeah, she's just this really important sort of safe place for him, and someone who gives him the skills with which he's then able to take this sort of like massive journey that he goes through once he's solved a part of the mystery.
Is math a particular specialty of Siobhan's?
I actually don't think it is. I did think about this a lot. It is of Christopher's, but he is really good at sort of, I think that part of what Siobhan loves about him is that he teaches her a lot, so I think he's sort of a math savant in a way that she isn't. I think her skills are much more at thinking of new ways to problem solve. You know, he just sees the world in a different way, and I think she's really good at finding places to ground himself and unique ways for him to help him problem solve. So I did think about that. I was like, I wonder if she is also very good at math, but I don't actually think that that's the case. Christopher really tells you what's important to him, and so I think that she learns a lot about what is calming and all about the things that he cares about from him, from their interactions.
I just wanted to ask you then, Elizabeth, if you would help us begin to understand how we, as people who are coming to meet and get to know Christopher, how we are to engage with him. He is a wonderfully talented human being, and he has many gifts. He has some limitations. And is that the way we're to take him, as someone who is like us in those ways, but he may have something of a condition that is not the foremost defining aspect of his being?
Yes. yes. In the book, he very much lists his behaviors. And although the book in no way identifies him as being on the autism spectrum, people who read the book and are familiar both through their professions or their personal experience recognize many of those behaviors. So the book has been embraced sort of de facto by the autism community as a great way for people who are on the outside to get inside both the beauty and the challenges of this particular mind. And we all have particular minds, and all of our minds have beauty and challenges, but the sensory overload that Christopher experiences is, I think, or as we have learned, is experienced by a number of people with neuroatypical brains or thinking processes. And so I think the great virtue, or one of the great strengths of the play, aside from being just such a compelling story, you just want to stay with this young man and you root for him and you feel with him. It's just it's a really compelling story. But a bonus of that is that both the book and the play help you to understand what it might be like to look through Christopher's eyes and walk through a place with lots of, like Paddington Station, with lots of signs and sounds and imagery and people and colors. And for a person who has the ability to take all of those things in to a degree that neurotypical brains do not, it's a profoundly overstimulating experience. And I think the play, for me, in seeing it, just opened up what that might be like and opened up my thinking and my experience and my empathy. So we're using this as an opportunity for our community to raise our own understanding and awareness about autism. And we've partnered with the Autism and Developmental Medicine Institute of Geisinger and with people from Camp Emerge. We're doing our first ever sensory-friendly performance on April 13th at 11 o'clock. We have panel discussions with people who have experience with autism after every Sunday performance. There's an art gallery, the Exchange Gallery, right around the corner from the theater, and they are hosting, overlapping with our production, they are hosting an exhibit of artists by artists who identify as on the spectrum. And that will be open before performances, and it will be open after school matinees, so that people can continue the reverberations from this incredible play and Steve's remarkable performance. I think this role is like, I've likened it to playing Hamlet. I think it is a defining role for an actor, and we have hit the jackpot. This is a performance that you want to drive to see. And it is well supported by a cast that works together really, really well. And it has a big movement element, which McCambridge is also doing. She's not just playing Siobhan. She has come in because she works with a theater in Chicago called Walkabout Theater. And their work is primarily physical theater. And so in looking for an actor who could both play Siobhan and handle the big movement sections of the play, I was like, well, who could do that? And then I thought, oh, I think I know someone. And McCambridge, who, full disclosure, is also related to me, turned out to be just the right person. So her skills, both as an actor and with Walkabout Theater, have really helped us to do things that BTE is not accustomed to doing to quite this level. This is asking the company to really take on whole movement sections where Christopher is moved around and manipulated, and that is how the audience sees the disorientation that he's experiencing.
It's intriguing to know that you're doing movement theater, McCambridge. Before you get into the specifics about how you're working with the ensemble, what is it that you all do in Chicago?
Well, I work with a company called Walkabout, and we do all devised work. So we make it ourselves, and it's a sort of like usually 9-month process to make a show. And they tend to be non-linear, so it's not so we're not playing a lot of characters, and there's not a plot. It's almost more like the way music is structured than the way a typical play is structured. It's highly physical, and we sing, and we sometimes dance, and we do a lot of things that would look sort of similar to contact improv, lifts and weight sharing, and trying to find sort of extra daily states and moments of flight within the shows. So it's really exciting work, and I really love doing it, and it's been truly special to bring what I have been doing for the past 6 years to BTE, where I've worked many times before and where I love working. And, yeah, just to get to share that has been really, really great.
Did you pick up the script and then let your mind begin to draw on moments that you could see? Yes, I understand. How did you work through what would make sense to convey the things that Elizabeth has just described to us?
Yeah, Elizabeth and I went through the script and looked at different moments where we thought there were movement possibilities and what we were looking for in terms of style and storytelling. And we're definitely not the first company to add movement into the play. That was established by a company called Frantic Assembly, the original production with the National Theater. And they're just incredible, and their work is so beautiful and was a major inspiration. But we wanted to sort of do our take on that and come to it with fresh imaginations. And so we sort of just looked at how we wanted the movement to build and when we're seeing the world, when that movement is helping us see the world from Christopher's perspective, and when we're sort of seeing it from outside of his perspective. And it's just neat because, this, you know, the way the play is written is sort of a different method of storytelling already just in the script. And so then it's so exciting to feel like the theatrical form of it is taking on this different way of storytelling. So you have all these projections, and then you have all of this movement, and then this like really tight, incredibly well-written play on top of it. So there are a lot of different languages being used to convey this story, which is so neat because it is also about sort of the different language of Christopher.
Is this something that actors have training in but don't draw on their toolbox, or is this something you had to start from the ground up and say, now think of it this way?
I think a little bit of both. Some of the ensemble members, I know Jim Good was part of the Mime Company back in Northwestern and had done a lot of physical work there. And BT, I think, has experimented with different kinds of physical training, you know, throughout its many, many years. But I think most of what we're doing was very new for most people. And I have to say, I'm so impressed because it can be very scary to try to lift bodies while saying lines, while memorizing all these patterns. And so it's really a lot, and people are working together so well and doing things that, you know, I sort of went in with what my dream was and then some other versions that seemed more doable, and I'm really getting sort of exactly what I wanted in every moment that we had picked out as being a movement moment. So I'm feeling really, really excited, and I think it will just be so cool for BTE audiences to see all these people who they know through all of these different roles throughout, you know, all of the years doing these things that they've just never seen them do before. I think it's going to be really, really exciting.
Building on what Elizabeth suggested, Steve, to be or not to be Christopher, how have you been coming to know Christopher, and how have you been drawing on your own experience or observations of people you know? I know it's a well-written script, but still you have to be taking an awful lot of responsibility here to bring this remarkable character to life.
So I draw a lot from Mark Haddon's original text. Before we started working, I read the book several times, just picking up on Christopher's other stories that aren't in the show, that still inspired certain things for me to do on stage or things to think about that influenced certain physical things I was able to incorporate into the character. So I definitely drawing on the original text. I also brought in some of my own things, some physical habits that I had as a child. I could tap into my own experiences with anxiety, and I was able to kind of shape those into the role as well. And also, I did a lot of reading leading up to this, and I had a whole book list for the last 6 months going through different firsthand accounts of people who do identify as being on the spectrum. And so just taking from different experiences of real people from their point of view.
Christopher does have anxiety and fears, yet there is some sense of Christopher's getting through these scary places, so there's real growth in the character, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, Christopher is incredibly determined. That is one of the greatest parts about him. He wants something, he will not stop until he gets it. And so he comes across all these obstacles, you know, physically trying to get to London and then trying to make sure he gets to take his A-levels and confronting certain characters that he meets and that he's related to. And so while he struggles with his anxieties, he pushes through them and then uses his gifts as a mathematician and someone who is incredibly, pays so much attention to the details around him. He uses those in order to overcome really anything that gets in his way.
We know about how detail-oriented Sherlock Holmes was in solving things, that was just so critical, his powers of observation. So that's something that Christopher has.
Yes, absolutely. And then we see him kind of actually go through a Sherlock and Watson sort of conversation in the room, trying to piece together the evidence that they have and what is missing and where they need to go further with the investigation.
What do you think the friendship or mentorship with Siobhan means to Christopher?
That's very interesting, actually, because as the play progresses, we see that she is this comfort to him. She encourages him to write about his experiences, and he takes this as an opportunity to contribute to his investigation. And as the play moves through, he, in his mind, grows a lot closer to Siobhan and goes from seeing her just as a teacher and a mentor to someone much closer, like a closer friend and possibly member of a family.
There's lots of images and metaphorical opportunities, at least in the novel, and I'm sure they carry over into the play, but the journeying, the literal journeying to London and all the various ways that dogs come up, the title, the dead dog, another dog that might come into the play at some point. But is there something that Christopher has problems with when it comes to metaphor?
Oh, Christopher does not like metaphors at all. Because it is saying something is one thing when it's actually something else. And so he sees metaphors as actually a kind of lie. And Christopher hates lying. He hates lies because they can easily spiral out of control, and it's too many things to keep track of that aren't factual. And so he definitely does not like metaphors at all.
Is this role really touching you deeply as you continue to work to opening night? Is this something that lasts with you after you walk out of the Elvina Krauss Theater rehearsal? And is it something that you're living with now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of those, we finished just an act and I need like a couple minutes just to like drink water and cool off physically and like mentally just for a second. And even going home from work, because there's so much, he carries so much anxiety with him and also physical tension that it is something that I do need a sort of cool down for, definitely.
We're getting a sense that this is really a play for everybody.
I think this is for anyone who likes to follow the what we call the hero's journey. And so I think this is something that many people, they can see themselves in the story and they can see familiar patterns in the story that we've seen since ancient Greek drama, but through a modern lens. This is a modern story, but there's a lot that they can take away from it as far as like their own personal truths, I think, and ways that we communicate with each other.
Steve just suggested that this is kind of the hero's journey. This is a kind of perennial human story.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's how you feel about it, and that it's got all those layers.
Oh, completely. And in fact, for the study guide that we prepared for school matinees, I worked with two interns that we have who were doing their Bennington fieldwork from Bennington College. And it was one of them who identified, let's look at this versus the hero's journey. And then you could absolutely plug in every step. So I'm quite sure that Mark Haddon, who wrote the book before Simon Stevens adapted it into a play, was very aware because you can plug them in. What the genius of it is that I completely fell for it and got pulled along and didn't see the scaffolding that was underneath it. I just cared about this young man and found myself rooting so much for him and so compelled by the story, but that's the power of that scaffolding of the hero's journey.
And you wanted to tell us about the projections.
Yes, this is a big, big deal for us. We are very, very lucky in working with Jorg Cousineau. He is sort of the go-to designer in Philadelphia theater for video projection. I know many people who have worked with him, and I've seen his work. And a big component of this production can be using videos to kind of help create the place because the play is so spare. They're very short scenes, and they get right into the heart of it. So you're shifting locations. So video projection can help to anchor the audience in terms of where you are, but it can also play a huge part in helping you see how Christopher's mind is working, both when it's working at such an incredible speed in terms of how he sees things, because there's a whole scene where he talks about how other people just glance at things and he sees every detail. And that in the book was interesting to read, but with a video component that is moving, this is happening on a train, you will be able to see the speed at which his brain is taking and processing those pictures, because a lot of neuroatypical brains process through pictures, not through words. So this visual component on this level, we've worked with projection before, but never on this level, and I have a whole lot to learn. The projector arrived today. We got a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and other organizations to help support bringing Jorg in and to rent a projector of this caliber. It's a 20K projector, which is equipment that we just couldn't touch outside of our usual production budget. This projector rental will cost more than all of the production costs for our other shows combined. So this NEA made that possible, and our audiences will get the benefit of it.
Do you have the dates and times with you, Elizabeth?
It runs from March 28th through April 14th, and there are school matinees available. And the information about that, if there are school people listening who are interested, they can contact bte.org and get more information about that. And so those are Thursday through Sunday, and after every Sunday performance, we will be doing a post-performance panel talking about autism with our community.
Director Elizabeth Dowd, actor Steve Falla, who is Christopher, and the Cambridge Dowd Whipple, actor who is Siobhan, and the movement director, speaking about the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime, adapted by Simon Stevens from the best-selling book by Mark Haddon, running March 28th through April 14th at the Alvina Krauss Theater, 226 Center Street in downtown Bloomsburg. For more information on the web, bte.org. There will be shows Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3, and a talk-back conversation with the audience after every performance. And they're inviting you to special events related to the show. Sunday, March 31st at 5:15, it's a post-performance panel on autism and the family. Another panel on autism and the community on Sunday, April 7th, also at 5:15. On Saturday, April 13th at 11 a.m., it's a sensory-friendly performance of the show. And on Sunday, April 14th at 5:15, a post-performance panel on autism and the workplace. The Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble presents The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, March 28th through April 14th. It's by Simon Stevens, based on the best-selling book by Mark Haddon. And the shows are Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3, with talk-back conversations with the audience after every performance and special events as well. For more information, on the web, bte.org, bte.org.